Good morning. I will call the Senate Education Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, February 29th, and the time is 8:03 a.m. In attendance are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens should be on his way shortly, Senator French, and myself, Senator Thomas. We have a quorum to conduct business. Welcome, everyone. First, is there anything to come before the committee before we start our regular agenda? Seeing nothing. We have two items of business today before us, SB 6, a pre-K bill sponsored by Senator Davis and Senator French. We've heard this bill on Monday and still have some questions or a few questions regarding the fiscal note and any impact the bill might have on the Moore settlement, so we're going to address those issues today. On Monday, we moved to adopt the CS, and I objected. For the purposes of discussion, in order for us to get an updated fiscal note, the committee must adopt the CS. This does not mean we are moving it out necessarily today, but certainly consider doing that. But in order to get updated fiscal information, we have to adopt the committee substitute. So at this time, I would remove my objection to adopting committee substitute for Senate Bill 6/I. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, committee substitute for SB 6 version 27LS0058/I is adopted. Next, we will take up an amendment number one, suggested to us by the department. My aide has passed out the amendment. It's very short, adds with the state, just one word. Do we have a motion to adopt the amendment? Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt amendment number one to the committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, version /I.
Very good. Thank you. And I will object for the purpose of discussion. I'll have Deputy Commissioner Morris come forward and bring anyone else that you need to explain this lengthy one-word amendment.
For the record, my name is Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development, and Cindy Kern's with me, and she has been working through this bill, so I'll let her explain this.
Cindy Curran, Director of Teaching and Learning Support, Department of Education and Early Development. Good morning. What we're asking is that the word in Section 9, a school district may not include in the average daily membership of a school students who are 4 years of age if the students are enrolled in a program that receives state funding other than funding under this chapter. We believe that inserting the word state allows programs to seek other grant funding, federal funding, private funding, and if that word is not there, they may very well be precluded from being able to do that.
That's it? Thank you, and I appreciate that. And it's difficult to read it into the sentence, and the more I read it, I said, what, several times, and then I started shortening up the sentence and only reading the first line, basically line 7, and then line 9, and it seemed to flow better and make sense because it got very confusing to me with the other, which was just qualifier, the second sentence, so I understand that. But I'll ask if there are anybody else that hasn't really had a lot of opportunity to read this and read that one word into the sentence, if it is confusing to them or if that explanation makes sense. Maybe I'm a little slow, I'm not sure. You guys are smiling. I think you have the same concern. No question that makes sense to people what the purpose of it is and the reasoning for it? Okay, great. Thanks. With that, I would remove my objection to the amendment. Is there any other objection to the amendment? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. We also had some questions on how SB 6 might affect the Moore settlement. Deputy Commissioner Morris, are you prepared to explain that at this point in time?
Yeah, actually, Cindy Curran's been investigating the issue, so I'll let her start, and then I can add anything if it's necessary.
Sounds like she's doing all the work here.
She's doing all the work, and
you're taking all the credit.
She's hearing it firsthand. I'm hearing it from her, so okay. I might as well let her speak to the issues.
Good enough. Chair Thomas, members of the committee, We were able to talk with our Assistant Attorney General regarding this, and we determined that we would be able to work through any concerns, any issues that might come up with this. We don't really have any. We just wanted to make sure that there wouldn't be anything because of this. So we've been assured that it is not an issue, that we can move forward, and we can address whatever comes from this.
And that was the concern, whether we would be conflicting with anything that the Moore decision.
Chair Thomas, made. Yes.
Okay. No, because he said the last time.
Somebody else has an opinion. Are there any questions about that? I think that answers what what our main concern was whether we were conflicting with the Moore decision at all. Let's see. And we also were looking for some information, particularly Senator Stevens, but he may or may not make it. You might have to repeat that later in the meeting, but hopefully not regarding the information that you received during the crime summit, some of those statistics and things. So if you're willing, Senator French, to give that information to us at this point in time, that'd be great.
Sure. I'd be happy to, and I can share it with Senator Stevens either after the meeting or at some other time. But I know he was sort of interested in the dollar savings that you can generate from pre-kindergarten in areas outside education. I went over pretty thoroughly at the meeting on Monday the beneficial educational effects, you know, the PPVT study, the DIAL 3, the ECRS, and so forth. But I just wanted to draw the committee's attention to two pieces of information. One was conducted here in Alaska. The first crime summit we did in 2008 led to a cost of crime study done by ICER, our own folks at ICER, and they looked at a series of rehabilitation programs that can lower the crime rate and reduce the rate of recidivism. And the best program they found statewide was Head Start, surprisingly enough. Their study revealed that Head Start for young children saves 6 times more than it costs and reduces the future crime rate among participants by about 16 percentage points. And, of course, it takes a long time to pay off, but the dollar savings were pretty well established there. We got a much more in-depth report on that same subject from Annie Panucci from the Washington State Institute of Public Policy. She came to us in January at the Crime Summit. They look at meta-analysis. They look at dozens of studies. She said she analyzed the findings from 11 individual studies that directly measure crime outcomes, and they plotted the effect sizes to summarize whether there's more or less crime for the preschool students versus non-preschool kids and how much less crime. The students were followed sometimes into adulthood to see if they'd been arrested, convicted, or if they self-reported having committed crimes. She said there were findings from individual studies, so you see a range of how much crime is avoided from preschool. One study found a very small increase, but on average, crime went down for preschool students about 0.23 standard deviations. We went back and checked with her, and she said that's about a 20% reduction in the crime rate, which is similar to what the ICER study revealed. She went on to qualify, you know, sort of what the costs are. In Washington, you can get a year and a half of preschool for about $7,295. And when you run the studies and run the savings, she broke them out into several different categories. But the three most significant areas of savings are, number one, the reduced crime stemming from lower criminal justice and victims costs were worth about $6,066. The educational gains stemmed from increased earnings for the individual worth about $9,800. And the reduction in special education spending that you have to do for kids who go to pre-kindergarten was worth about $1,000. So if you add that all up, for a $7,295 investment in pre-kindergarten, you get about $21,000 back in savings. So about a 3-to-1 ratio there. So those are the numbers that we got from Ms. Panucci. They jive with the numbers we've generated here in the state. And so I think it's good to keep in mind that pre-kindergarten pays benefits outside the typical areas that we think of, which are, you know, in the area of education. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator French. And I know I followed up and did have some discussions with, in this case, the Commissioner of Corrections, but this is kind of pervasive throughout the system, and it's not necessarily an indictment of the agencies or the departments that they don't keep the statistics. We hear so many about intervention and prevention and things like that along the road and how it pays off down the road, but we don't keep those statistics, and the Commissioner of Corrections said that they are definitely starting to crank up to accomplish just that, so we can tell, you know, the effect on education. We talked a lot about the number of GEDs that they're producing in the correction system and how that is going to affect the recidivism. So we're on the road to doing that, but we're always a little late. It's just not a priority. It doesn't seem to people like that's a priority because it's not their normal business, whatever that department is. So thank you for your diligence in that area. Senator Meyer?
May I ask a question of Senator French?
Certainly. Certainly.
Senator French, yeah, those are interesting numbers, and I think that even our own the governor's council, you know, has indicated that there's definitely cost savings in having a pre-K program of some sort. The Head Start program, you said, seemed to be the best. Is that nationwide? And how long has that been in effect?
You know, Head Start's been around a long time. I can't give you the exact number of years, but this was ICER looking at programs currently operating in the state of Alaska. And so when they looked at programs available here, Head Start was sort of the number one provider of pre-kindergarten at the time. I think, you know, the pilot pre-K is partnered with Head Start in some areas, has been a standalone sort of program in others. But the fact that the Washington State Institute of Public Policy sort of pulled back and looked at a series of studies across the nation, combined with the local results we're getting here, I think is just sort of good confirmation that it's a phenomenon that's repeatable.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that's been one of the concerns, one of the hesitancies we've had in starting a pre-K program was we didn't have enough data to know and to track a child from when they're age 4 to when they're age 18, and did they indeed graduate, or did they indeed, you know, end up in our correction system, or what happened to them. But I do believe Head Start's been around long enough now that we have that data that we can track a child that's 3 or 4 years old now through age 18. Mr. Chairman, this is definitely a program that works. I think, again, the hesitancy has just always been having the factual information data to show this kind of investment. And in this case, this bill is almost $40 million. You know, is that going to pay off in the long run? And I think the information that we've been getting from various groups, not only the Crime Summit and our own council and other groups, indicates that that we will get a huge return on our investment.
Yeah. Thank you. Senator French.
Just I appreciate Senator Meyer's focus on the data. I think the administration deserves some credit for generating so much information during the pilot program. You know, you looked at the two reports, and there's just page after page after page filled with data. And I find that comforting. I find it really interesting. You know, we went through some of that at great length at the last meeting. But, you know, it just pays off, and you just can't find data that shows that it doesn't pay off. It's a very, very strong correlation between pre-kindergarten and later gains in education, and we now see in other areas like reducing crime.
Thank you.
Mr. If I can just follow up on that. Yeah, you know, I too appreciate the information we've received thus far from the task force that the administration put together. And unfortunately, their recommendation isn't going to be ready or complete till June 1st. And I don't think this committee wants to wait that long. Because I was hoping that maybe they would say the same thing, that Head Start is the way to go, or teachers, or parents as teachers, or Best Beginnings, or whatever different program out there is the best way to go. But since we don't have that information, I think right now probably the best move for us to make is to go with what Senator Davis has and Senator French has recommended in Senate Bill 6.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? Welcome, Senator Stevens. Sorry we got started ahead of you here. I know that you were down at the Justice's breakfast this morning. So we have gone through the committee substitute, did have Senator French report back on some of the questions that you had. We're sure that you would be here before we got done. So anyhow, are there any other questions that you may have? Senator French has indicated he's more than willing to share the information with you, and I think you may have had some conversation with him in between about about some of that. So I don't know if we can do anything now to be helpful or not, because we're about to take take a motion up. So just not to surprise you with that, is there anything you might want to ask before we move on?
No, I'm comfortable with what we've done. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, that seems like a fairly thorough discussion on the bill. Senator Meyer, the will of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. I move that we move committee substitute for Senate Bill 6, version 27LS0058/I as amended to the next committee referral, which I believe is finance, with individual recommendations in the forthcoming fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, seeing none, the bill passes. So did we need to take a little at ease for something to be hooked up here for the next presentation, even though it's not? Okay, we'll stand at ease here for a second. Back to order here. Let's see. Our next order of business is SB 120, Senator French's Parents as Teachers Bill. This bill was introduced by Senator French at the end of the last session. Since then, there have been some changes to the bill, and we will look be looking at a committee substitute. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 120, version 27LS0788/M.
And I will object for the purpose of discussion. Senator French, we'll turn the meeting over to you. Will you and your assistant, Lila Hobbs, please introduce the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me tell you a little bit about the bill, then I'll tell you why the CS had to be introduced.
Sure.
Basically, this is a really nice sort of complement to the bill we just heard, which is in, you know, pre-kindergarten operated by school districts or Head Start, you know, in schools around the state. This takes the idea of early childhood development one step further. And Parents as Teachers is designed to help convey to parents around the state, since they are a child's most important teacher, a child's first teacher, how better to handle this young person in their lives. Parents as Teachers first began in Alaska in 1995. It's been around for 17 years, when it was implemented in Hoonah, Alaska. It's a long-standing, well-supported program that now operates in 41 communities around Alaska, serving over 900 children. It's designed to provide education services to newborns to continue until the child reaches the age of 5. It's a purely voluntary program. You know, we all know that parental involvement in a child's learning is linked to the development of a child's academic skills, including reading and writing. Parents as Teachers is about engaging families and understanding the way that their child's brain develops and how to create the best possible learning environment for their child. You know, we take these things for granted, I think, coming from the backgrounds that we've all enjoyed, but many, many parents just don't know about the development of a child's brain, how important it is to read and work with a child in different areas, and Parents as Teachers helps them along the way. The services that Parents as Teachers provide includes personal visits, group socialization opportunities with other families, and you'll hear some really important information about the developmental screenings that get conducted to pick up on a child's learning disabilities, whether it's a hearing problem or some other issue that a child's experiencing. That way you catch these things very early, and a child gets referred to other services as needed. There's really good evidence about the benefits of this program. You'll hear about that. And I guess it's important for you to know and the rest of the community to know that this bill has really wide support. Last night, my staffer spent an hour counting up all the different letters of support we've gotten. 129 letters of support. And they're not just sort of cookie-cutter letters. They're each from different communities, from Ketchikan all the way up to Savunga. We've gotten letters from parents, from school districts, from superintendents, from cities, from tribal councils, and of course many of the folks who are involved in childhood education programs. So the bill simply expands the reach of the current Parents as Teacher program, And it asks for the Department of Education to report back to us about the program's effectiveness in 2015 after it's been up and running for 3 years. That's the reason for the CES. The CES pushes that report date out 1 year because we filed the bill last year. 3 years would have come up a little too fast according to the dates we had in last year's bill. So we just pushed the date out by 1 year from 2014 to 2015. And that's the idea, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Meyer.
If I may, just a brief question, Senator French. How does this bill differ than the bill we just heard or just passed? You know, the previous bill was to basically expand our public school system to provide pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds. This seems like it's asking the parents to be the teachers for our pre-kindergartners. So maybe you could just explain what the difference is.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. You know, it's sort of the perfect complement to the previous bill. In fact, it's of the two, it's probably more important because you know, kids are going to spend at the most 4 hours a day in a preschool environment. And while we've shown they get great benefits from that, they're going to go home and spend 20 hours a day in their home, and they're going to have been raised up until age four by their parents. You know, we say over and over again, a parent is the child's most important teacher. And so this is just putting some tools in the hands of Alaska's parents to try to get the most out of that precious precious child in their residence. So it's really designed to just help parents better understand how to get their kids reading and writing and learning motor skills at an earlier age. And, you know, it's helping them sort of jumpstart that child's education with as little governmental involvement as possible. It's really designed about putting tools in their hands for them to use or not use as they see fit.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Davis.
Can I speak to that question also?
You certainly can.
Parents as Teachers is a wonderful program, but it is not a pre-K program. This program they have is to help children get ready to learn. And they are doing a whole lot of activities with them and involving parents in the schools and also the home visits and into the community. And so it's a great tool. I would like to see the program expanded, but it does not take the place of pre-K.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments at this point in time? And I suspect, Ms. Hobbs, you're next up.
For the record, my name is Lila Hobbs, staff to Senator French. I was here to speak on why we had a CS, but I think Senator French already covered that. So if you have any further questions, I can answer it, or we have Debbie Baldwin here from the Parents as Teachers program, and she can answer all the questions much more in depth, probably.
And I think we're set up for that now, so we don't have to take a little break or anything, so we're ready to go there. Any questions of Ms. Hobbs? We're supposed to ask her questions, are we not?
Griller.
All right. Why did you? Okay, if there's nothing else from Ms. Hobbs and Mr. Senator French, if we could have Debbie Baldwin come forward and introduce yourself and your guest and put yourselves on the record and start your presentation.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Thomas and members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Debbie Baldwin. I am the Child Development Division Director at Rural CAP. This morning I brought my colleague, Kristen Ramstead, who is the Parents as Teachers Director at Rural CAP. And I want to thank you for letting us come before you and share about our experiences in over 19 communities with the Parents as Teachers program. First, we'd like to start off with a general introduction to the Parents as Teachers program.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I am Kristen Ramstead. We would like to give a brief introduction to the Parents as Teachers model, and then we will talk about Parents as Teachers in Alaska and some of our outcomes.
Very good. Continue.
We're going fast. Parents as Teachers has four goals nationally. It's to increase parent knowledge of early childhood development and improve parenting practices, provide early detection of developmental delays and health issues, prevent child abuse and neglect, and increase children's school readiness and later school success. The Parents as Teachers model is made up of four components. All Parents as Teachers programs do offer personal visits to families. These focus on child development and help explain, talk about children's behaviors, and we develop rapport with parents and children. But again, the family visitor is there to model best practices and help the parents and children interact together. Families additionally are invited to one or two community social events every month where children and families get to play and learn together. Parents have the opportunity to network with each other, and children have the opportunity to gain social skills from their peers. Additionally, as Senator French mentioned earlier, we do offer developmental and health screenings. All Parents as Teachers programs conduct the developmental and social-emotional screenings to make sure that children are on track. Additionally, we offer hearing and vision screenings. And the hearing and vision screenings are formalized screenings where we will refer, as necessary, refer on to medical providers. The final component of the Parents as Teachers program is connecting families with local and regional and statewide resources. During the personal visits, topics will come up that is beyond the scope of the Parents as Teachers program and knowledge and expertise, and we do refer on. We follow up with the families, talk about barriers to accessing these resources, and assist them in advocating to access these resources. So what does the PAT program do? We have certified parent educators provide research-based information and utilize evidence-based practices. Really what they are is they are a partner with families. They facilitate activities, they facilitate child developments, and they reflect with families on additional needs. During the visits, we promote parent-child interaction, so we offer activities that focus on the interactions between the parent and the child, prompts parent engagement, and encourages optimal child development. We talk about development-centered parenting, and that's a long word and concept that came up that really just explains the link between the child's stage of development, the child's behavior, and parenting decisions and reactions to it. So it really helps parents understand what to expect during each stage of development, and again, how to promote the optimal child development. So this is where a lot of positive guidance and discipline is discussed, and how to react to the two-year-old. Family well-being. We do focus on the families, and the Parents as Teachers curriculum embeds the strengthening family protective factors within the curriculum. So the visitors and the parents discuss those protective factors and look at parents' needs and wishes and work towards strengthening those. So who do we serve in Alaska? Currently, Parents as Teachers serves children birth to five. We also serve special populations. We have teen parents in the Parents as Teachers program, children with special needs. We have culturally and linguistically diverse families. There are military families, and there are families who have been referred to Parents as Teachers by the Office of Children's Services. Parents as Teachers in Alaska is in both rural and urban communities. And we do serve families in intervention school districts.
I wonder if you could just, Mr. Chairman.
Certainly, Senator French.
You know, I wonder if you could just stop for a minute on the interaction between parents and teachers and military families. I've got a fact sheet full of that information, but maybe you've got it at your fingertips, and it's just good to let the committee know about how this program works with the various challenges that military families face with respect to early childhood development.
Through the chair, Senator French, thank you. There was a Department of Defense dollars invested in Parents as Teachers a few years back in the Heroes at Home project, which was offered to families on military bases. Again, especially helpful for families that have one parent deployed overseas. It was to provide strength and support to, again, the parent that was remaining back in the States as their partner was being deployed. It was very successful in the Anchorage, on the Anchorage bases, as well as the Fairbanks, Eielson, and the other base up in Fairbanks. That funding was cut by the Department of Defense. We have a Parents as Teachers program in Fairbanks and Anchorage. We have tried to reach out to those military bases. We do have some families enrolled. But again, we only have 24 spaces available in the Anchorage community for parents as teachers. So again, we have a wait list of military families that are interested in the program. Again, has proven to be very successful, reduced the stress for families through deployment of one parent.
Thank you.
And thank you, Senator French. And it seems a little redundant, but as we, when we have more than one person testifying, if you would repeat your name each time, it makes the record keeping simpler for people to know who said what. And Senator Stevens, you had a question.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just curious. I'm not really familiar with the program personally, but the people who do the visits, I don't know who they are, and I don't know what a certified parent educator is. How do you become one? Are they? What does that really mean, that term?
Through the chair, again, my name is Kristen Ramstad, for the record. Currently, there is a rigorous process. The Parents as Teachers has developed a curriculum. Parents as Teachers National Center has a curriculum. You must become certified in the curriculum. Currently, that is a 3 to 5 day training. We are very fortunate in the state of Alaska to have two Alaska-based national trainers. So people come to the class. They go through 3 to 5 days of training. They become certified. They are tested. And additionally, the most important thing I think that makes the success of Parents as Teachers is that the family visitors are from the local community. Currently, I can speak for Rural CAP, we have all local family visitors of all varying levels of education, from paraprofessionals all the way up to two folks with masters in education. But they are from the local community.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I think this model is very attractive for Alaska because we do know that there are not many professionals in the early childhood field. That is a developing career field that we are hoping to see really take off in the next several years. We have many paraprofessionals coming to us who have a love of children. It is one of the few early childhood programs that I have seen where you must be tested in your knowledge and competency of the material before you deliver it to your participants.
Well, we spent a lot of time on that, but I'd be interested, I guess, in knowing, how are these people that have gone through, police checks, and do they become, are they paid? I have two specific questions, then.
Through the chair. Sure. Senator Stevens, thank you for your questions. Yes, all of our parents as teachers must clear background checks before we allow them to visit families in their home. Secondly, the Parents as Teachers certification is really viewed as an entry into the early childhood profession. If you look at the folks that have come through Rural CAP store over the last probably 12 years or so, 13 years we've been doing the program, they have gone from the Parents as Teachers certification on to completing their AA degrees.
Really?
And their BA degrees. We do have, we work with the Department of Labor in their STEP program, State Training and Employment Program. They provide assistance to us for the cost of the certification. We tie wage incentives to the completion. So when an employee comes to us and finishes the Parents as Teacher certification, they receive a 10% increase to their wages. When they complete their AA degree, another 10% increase to their wages, and BA another 10%. So there is incentives to, again, become the top of your field.
Would you supply us with what it requires to become a certified parent teacher?
Yes, Chairman Thomas, I certainly will. And then just one other thing. There is also an ongoing professional development requirement. This is Debbie Baldwin. Parents as teachers, educators have to keep current each year. Once they master the material, for us, they again must receive 10 to 15 hours of professional development every year to stay on top of what is the latest information coming out of the early childhood field.
Thank you.
One more question.
Senator
related. Could you tell me how many of those, and that's great that they move up the ladder I understand that very well, but how many are you able to retain in your program once they begin to get their AA move above that level?
Chairman Thomas, Senator Davis, that is a good question, and I think you've probably heard a lot about how we are sharing our professionals with the community once they do reach their bachelor level degree. Yes, it is a fact that school districts do pay better than many of the programs are able to do in early childhood. We do see teachers, particularly in Head Start, get their degrees and then become attractive to the local school district. We are saddened by that, but also thrilled that, again, people stay in the career field and, again, raise the capacity of this these services in their community. We do not have that exodus out of the Parents as Teachers program in our experience at ROCAP. We do have longevity in this position. There very much is a skill set for people who like working with families in their home, which is very different than the skill set of a teacher coming into a classroom environment. So we do not see that turnover in our Parents as Teachers program.
Thank you. Continue.
So this is just a quick slide that shows who delivered the program in the state of Alaska last year. 50% of the children were served by nonprofit agencies, and 50% were served by school districts who operate the Parents as Teachers model. Here's some quick demographics of the families and children we serve. As Senator French said, we are in 41 communities last year. We served 738 families. 3% of those families were teen parents. You can see the ethnicity of children served. This greatly reflects funding sources and where we are located, and through grants, who we serve. So the big question is, how is Parents as Teachers different from other early childhood programs? And again, as Senator French so eloquently stated, parents are truly their child's teachers, their first and most influential teachers. And Parents as Teachers honors that. And we're there to support and empower parents to embrace that role. All the brain research has shown that birth to age 3 is amongst the most critical time that sets the pathways towards learning. And so this is why we target that age group. And really, parents are there to help support their children. Also very important, we connect parents to other parents in real ways. And many times, that can be a saving grace for families who are out in, you know, off the road system, who live miles and miles apart from other families. It's really, really important. I think one of the big standouts for Parents as Teachers is there's actually a research-based curriculum. A lot of the other models say you need to adapt curriculums, but we actually have a curriculum that is based on the brain development, and it's evidence-based. We also, our family visitors, leave resources to help parents extend the learning opportunities in their homes. Additionally, we have a state advisory board that is made up of members around the state. We have representatives from local school boards, from Head Start, local Parents as Teachers programs, Alaska Native regional nonprofits. We have representatives from THRED. It's wonderful that all give input into how Parents as Teachers in Alaska operates. Again, as Debbie explained, we have certified parent educators that go through a rigorous process. In their first year, acknowledging that first-year visitors need more support, there is 20 hours of required professional development. Year 2, it's 15, and year 3 and above, it's 10 hours. Also important, the model promotes universal access. It is not designed necessarily for any socioeconomic status, cultural group. It is universal that all children, birth through 5, can gain, and their families can gain knowledge. But the biggest, I think one of the greatest things, is that there's, with a modest investment, you get high returns and outcomes. On average, the state of Alaska programs spend $3,200 to $4,000 per family. And that, of course, is depending upon the cost of living in the community that they're at per year. Okay, PAT results. Here are some great bullets on the results of parents as teachers nationwide, but I'd like to share with you some of Rural CAP's results, real results from last year. And get all my numbers correct. We have a thorough system of evaluation of our program, and every year parents return to us evaluation results. And last year we had 261 parents return their surveys. Of those 261 parents, 260 stated they increased their understanding of their role as their child's first teacher. That's over 99%. 257 reported improved parenting skills, including learning more positive discipline techniques. 100% all of them understood the importance of reading and early learning activities, early literacy activities, excuse me. And again, all of them stated that they observed an increase in the skills needed for their child to succeed in their next learning environment. So whether they were going on to a preschool Head Start program or going on to kindergarten. Additionally, when the kids came into Rural CAP's Head Start programs, we do a development, Head Start does a developmental screening, and of all the children that had been in PAT, 89% demonstrated age-appropriate skills going into our own Head Start program. This just explains the continuum of learning in communities served by us. It shows that parents as teachers works well and is a complement to Head Start, private, public preschool, and also school districts. And we do collaborate on a local and a regional and a state level with all of these entities. And here are some pictures of some of our kiddos. Any other questions?
Questions of either Ms. Baldwin or Ms. Ramstead? Hearing none, certainly go ahead, Ms. Baldwin.
Thank you, Chair Thomas. If I might address Senator Meyer's earlier comments about the strategic report that's coming out from the Alaska Early Childhood Coordinating Council. I'm a member of that council as well as 15 or 16 other representatives across the state. There is a draft recommendation right now that, again, could be available. It lists 7 priorities that we're going to be recommending to the legislature and the governor. And they are voted in order of priority based on what the council sees would be most helpful to the state. Again, these priorities are around both short-term and long-term action steps that can be taken by the state. It also takes a look at services and systems development. But the number one recommendation coming so far out of that draft report is that we immediately begin services to an additional 5,000 children across the state through proven models that have historically had success here in our state. And the models that so far have been identified have been Head Start and parents as teachers. So again, I think if the committee were to take action on the bill, it complements all the other groups and interests and stakeholders that are happening across the state that, again, want to provide more services and a well-developed system here in the state of Alaska for early childhood.
Mr. Chair. Certainly, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, thank you. If it is possible, without getting anyone in trouble, I would like to see a draft report because I would like to see how these programs, parents as teachers, Head Start, whatever else may be out there, how that dovetails in with the Senate Bill 6 that we just passed, where public schools provide statewide a pre-K program for fourth grade or for four-year-olds and up. Does the draft report address that?
Chair Thomas, Senator Meyer, there is not and again, perhaps I misstated, there's not a draft report, but there is a draft of the priorities that a report will address. And again, I would defer to the Department of Education and Early Development to see again, their feelings on being able to issue some of the draft priorities coming out. I certainly will take that up with the department as well as my members on the council. And I think the impetus to making services to an additional 5,000 extra children the number one priority coming out of the group is that there's a direct correlation between the amount of parent involvement in a child's education and their school success. The reason why Head Start is so successful is because they do have a strong family parent involvement component. What we would highly suggest in Senate Bill 6 is that any preschool program coming out of the district also have a strong parent involvement, family involvement component to it. You can build the finest program, but if parents don't get their children to it, again, you're going to see marginal outcomes from it. So, again, I will follow up with your request.
Great. Thank you very
and
much.
Let you know.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a brief question. The additional 5,000 students, the cost of that would be what?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, again, we recognize there are limited resources, and this is Debbie Baldwin from ROCAP from in the state of Alaska. There are needs for intensive services and less intensive services. The more intensive services you provide, the higher cost of it. So the recommendation is to have a spectrum of services, again, on one end being highly intensive, such as Head Start, early intervention, that may cost you anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000, $11,000 annually, to a spectrum of lesser intensive programs such as Parents as Teachers, which would be somewhere between $3,200 and $4,000 annually. So you will see, again, the cost very much based on the intensity and the need of the family around that recommendation.
Roughly, we're talking about $2 million, right?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, could you clarify? For a particular program?
That you say 5,000 extra children mm-hmm. at 4,000 each. That's $2 million, I believe.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, I think we would like the legislature to take a look at the needs around the state. We do know that there is an extensive list of students waiting for Head Start services, about 500. We do know there's a waiting list for parents as teachers. So part of the council's activity is to make sure that those wait lists are available to you so that you may see what the need is across the state and make your decision and allocation for resources based on that need.
Thank you.
Very good, and thank you. We do have some people that wanted to testify, and both co-chairs have to be in finance in just a few minutes. So if people, we have five, so we'd be curious to know who, don't want to waste too much of that precious time talking about it, but if we have some people that could testify quickly that would not be available Friday, that would be helpful to sort that out first and take those folks and then see who we can get through quickly. So if there is someone in the room that cannot come back on Friday, we'd take that testimony, but we only have two or three minutes, actually, before we need to go. So if somebody could speak for the other people, it would be helpful. But we do have on the list Emily Cote and Panu Lucier and Sarah Leonard. So I don't know if anybody feels comfortable speaking for the others or not. Realize it's kind of an awkward situation, but I'm using up the time as we're speaking now. So if somebody wants to come and speak for the group. Okay. Okay. Please come forward then. Put yourself on the record, Will.
Good morning, Senator Thomas and Senate Education Committee. My name is Panu Lucier. I am from Anchorage. I am currently the director of the System for Early Education and Development at THRED. And I first off wanted to applaud you for passing Senate Bill 6. Pre-K is very important, but there is a gap. You heard earlier that the critical years are 0 to 3, and pre-K begins at 4 as it is aligned in Senate Bill 6. And so Parents as Teachers is in a very important program in that it serves newborns through age 3, and or those are the critical years that we have an opportunity to impact infants and children through the Parents as Teachers program. I am the outgoing executive director of the Alaska Children's Trust, whose mission is to prevent child abuse and neglect. We know, absolutely know, that when we provide parents support and education about child development, then we reduce child abuse and neglect. As a two-year-old growing up in Fairbanks, I remember a public health nurse visiting my mother when my brother was born. That still sticks with me in my head today. I don't know, I couldn't tell you what my mother experienced, but I remember the joy of her visit, and it still sticks in my head today. So I will hope you give credence to the letters, from, especially from rural areas. I am Alaska Native. I've been a volunteer CASA for 14 years, and you know what, and we need support for Alaska Native families and rural families in particular, where there are not Head Start programs in every community, and they need the additional support. So I urge you to support this bill, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Stevens.
Could you explain THREAD? I've heard that twice today. I have no idea what it is.
THREAD is formally called, through the chair, Senator Stevens, Panulis here again. THREAD used to be called Child Care Connection, so you may be familiar with that name. They changed their name. We are the Child Care Resource and Referral Network for the state of Alaska. We provide child care referrals for families in our state. We provide training and education for people in the early childhood field.
Thank you.
And I recently became an advisory board member on the Parents as Teachers program just a few months ago. Thank you.
Oh, good. And you were speaking for Sarah as well?
Yes, Sarah Leonard, who is also with THREAD.
Okay, if there is an opportunity, that she may be able to testify at a later date anyhow. So, and then online we had Lynn Oshheim and Norman Eck.
Hi, this is Lynn Oshheim.
Please put yourself on the record and give us your testimony.
Yeah, this is Lynn Oshheim with Parents as Teachers. Chairman Thomas, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts and experiences with you. I've been involved in early childhood for over 40 years in three states and many different settings and programs. I recently served as the director of the Parents as Teachers program in Hoonah, and I also have served on the state board since its inception. For professionals like myself in this field, nothing's changed dramatically. The big change has occurred in the area of brain development and the proof of the importance of the early years and the effect they have on a child's life, and I would say prenatal to kindergarten. I know most of you have heard from the early childhood and financial experts concerning research in these areas. And, of course, you've heard a plethora of stories from families who have been served and benefited from early childhood and family programs in our state. So where are we on leap day? I say let's take a leap, not a baby step. I ask, why wouldn't we put our state money where we know it will get the biggest and the best results? Why would we not do what is ethically and morally right? Some countries have advocates for children built into their government. In our state and country, we have to rely on good people like you and I and the rest of the people in the room to do the right and the smart thing. I would encourage you to fund the PAT program in our state. In my experience as a supervisor of this program for 7 years, I've witnessed many positive changes for children and families. One of the most important components of this program is that it embraces the whole family in whatever form that family may be. The PAT program is research-based, comprehensive, very organized, and relatively easy to implement. Complications come with the many complications of today's families, which is all the more reason to support this program and help the family and the children.
She's done. Thank you. Are there any questions? Hearing none, next up is Norman Eck.
Good morning, folks. If it would be better for me to call back Friday morning, I can do so. My comments will take about 3 or 4 minutes.
That would be better, because we got 2 minutes to run up to the Finance Committee, and Kevin doesn't want his bill to be shuffled down.
I'll be online Friday morning. Thanks to the committee.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. And we would announce that on Thursday, tomorrow, March 1st, from noon to 12:45 p.m. in the Belts Room, this room, we have lunch will be provided, Babies on Track, Lunch and Learn, sponsored by the Senate and House Education Committee. So anyone available, please show up. And this, I believe, is posted hopefully by the elevators. That's always a good place. With that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee, we'll hold SB 120 and leave public testimony open and take it back up on Friday. We're adjourned.